I know you're wondering, where is he going with this? Now rewind a bit to understand the glory of this feast. And in the early church, the celebration of the Transfiguration was part of the celebration of Theophany. Theophany's great revelation, the baptism, two earlier events, the birth of Christ, the visit of the Magi, Revelation to the Jews, Revelation to the Gentiles. The revelation was apostles, it was the first miracle, it's in Cana, and then the revelation to his apostles on the top of the mountain in his transfiguration. And this is why in the Transfiguration we have this theme of tabernacles or tents. The early church celebrated these services. And then with the monks who like to pray, thank God, and like to write beautiful liturgical hymns, and then more liturgical hymns, and more liturgical hymns. These festal periods became extremely top-heavy, almost too much to celebrate one feast. And so a lot of the feasts in the early church eventually get broken up into an octave, or broken up into a multi-day celebration. The Last Supper, the mystical supper, the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus were all richly celebrated all on Saturday night in the Holy Paschal celebration in the early church. But eventually they became too top heavy with all the people hymns, and so they were parsed out in what we call Holy Week. And the same happened to the Feast of Theophany or Epiphany. It became so top heavy because of this glorious event that God was dwelling among us. The monks couldn't stop writing, and the hymns went on and on. And so they were parsed out throughout the year, the celebration of the Nativity of our Lord, the celebration of the visit of the Magi, the celebration of the wedding at Cana, and today the Transfiguration. And so we celebrated the Transfiguration, that God is dwelling among us. He has been revealed to us. The same theme with Theophany. And we bring fruit. Some of you are going to bring some fruit. We have grapes. Grapes are traditionally blessed this time of year. This is the time of the grape harvest. And other fruits and things that people have. Any kind of thing that has come from a plant or a tree at this time of year is traditionally brought to the church. Just like the Jews did in the ancient world to the temples and offering their first fruits. But we do not do this because they did it in the temple. We do this as a remembrance of who Christ is. The first fruits of the resurrection in which we participate. We are the first fruits in Christ. He is the first one to be raised. We are participants in that eternal resurrection. And so in Christ's resurrection, we find meaning. In Christ's life, we find meaning. In his revelation of who he is, we find meaning for our lives. Are we remembering today an event that happened 2,000 years ago? No. What we're remembering, rather, is an event that occurred 2,000 years ago that has meaning and bears fruit today. We may like to look back in the life of Christ and say, wow, that was wonderful. He was transfigured on the mountain, and the apostles realized that God was dwelling among them. They realized that what Peter had said was totally inadequate. Who do you say that I am? Peter and the apostles, you are the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of the Land of David. We've been waiting for. Of course. And they were right. But they didn't have the whole story. And so he led them up a mountain immediately after that and was transfigured in his glory. So that they would know that he's not only the King of the Land of David, the long way to return of the Messiah, the Christ, they were the King. But he is the return of their heavenly King they've had for eternity. Israel was awaiting the return of two kings, the earthly King of the line of David to return to the palace in Jerusalem, and the divine king in his glory to return and dwell in the temple. They're waiting for the return of two kings, and in Jesus, the apostles now understand that he is God, one among them in earth. And so Peter says, Lord, it is good that we are here. We'll start making some huts. Let's make tents. It's now time to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Because Peter knew, the apostles knew, the prophets. The prophets had said, Zechariah chapter 14 in particular, a post-exilic prophet, said that in the new kingdom is to come, all nations, just the Jews, all nations will gather to Jerusalem to celebrate the great Feast of Tabernacles and to worship the King, the Lord God. And therefore, Peter realizes that Zechariah 14 is in. But Peter also understood something that he passed on to the rest of us. We heard this in his epistle today. That we need to look in the mirror and realize, therefore, who we are in Christ. We can look back at the apostles, we can look at beautiful icons and say, wow, that's a beautiful icon of the Theotokos. There's an icon of Christ. Oh, there's a beautiful icon of Christ, and we can venerate it as we should. Do we venerate the icon of Christ sitting next to us? Do we venerate the icons of Christ in our home? Our spouse, our children, our parents? Our fellow Christians at work or in the workplace or on the street? Do we venerate them with the same honor and love and devotion and care that we give to wood and paint? Tragically, I'd say we don't. Because we don't really understand who they are. Because we don't really understand who we are. All of us who have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ, Paul says in Galatians 3:7. As we sing in every baptism. We have been brought forth from the waters of the new creation. Brought forth from the waters of the flood. Brought forth from the waters of the Red Sea. We have been created anew in Christ in our baptism. We have had the breath of life breathed into our nostrils through holy chrismation, the laying on of hands. We are now living beings in Christ. And we have been welcomed back into the Garden of Eden, where we behold the fruit of the tree of life, of which Jesus said, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And so, as St. Peter says in his second epistle, the one after he wrote the one we just read today, he says in chapter 1, verse 4, we have become partakers of the divine nature. No, we're not Mormons. That's polytheism. We are monotheists. We have become partakers of the divine nature. We share in his life and his glory. We share in his resurrection. St. Paul describes this as, in a metaphor, that we're like parts of a body. Like a hand, or a foot, or an eye. So we all, this body has different parts, but they're all functioning together, united. So also we work together, united, as the body of Christ. Flesh and blood. The incarnation of God. God dwelling here in earthly place. And so we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? What we've received. If I am the temple of God on earth, what do I do to my body? What do I do to others? Do I treat my body? Do I treat the bodies of others? Do I treat myself and others as the temples of God? St. Paul warns in 1 Corinthians, anyone who destroys the temple of God, that temple you are, God will destroy. Stern warning. We have been given gifts so far beyond the imagination of what ancient Israel received at Sinai. We eat not manna and quail flesh, but the body and blood of Christ. Not manna and quail flesh, water or rock that will sustain us that life in the desert. But the manna and the quail flesh, the body and blood of Christ, the water from the rock, his precious blood, that sustains us to eternal life, that is, gives our flesh and blood the ability to be raised. What do we do in between? We should walk in life. We should walk in his ways. We must be Christ to everyone around us. We must look like Christians, speak like Christians, dress like Christians, act like Christians. Often Christians are indistinguishable from the world around them. Does my neighbor know that my house is a Christian house? When someone knocks on my door, do they see a cross and know that when they enter in, they're walking into a Christian home? When they walk in the door, do they see an icon of Christ or the Theotokos? When they're in the home, do they hear beautiful music of the church or Shiv Doggy Dog or whatever? When they get into my car, do they hear Christian music and Christian conversation? Or something else? What do we have hanging from our mirror or on our dashboard? What are we doing to live the life of Christ, to be a light to the nations and the nations? What are we doing with the gifts we have given? And if the answer is, well, I don't think I've really done these things as well as I could have, like, I really, you know, maybe I need to put a cross on the door, I forgot about that. Maybe I should probably be getting rid of that CD of Michael Jackson or whatever, but and start listening to, I know what you're saying, you don't have CDs anymore, probably. iPad or iPad, whatever. Make today the Feast of Transfiguration. Of your life. Transfigure before those around you from this day forward so that those around you may know who you really are. Be transfigured today. Shine with the light of Christ to those who formerly did not know who you are. You'll know from this day forward. Be a light to the nations. Shine the light of Christ. Be God only on earth. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Spirit, of heaven and age to ages.
You were transfigured.